Monday night we spoke to you concerning hope, and then Tuesday night, the fact that we are kept by the power of God. Last night, concerning compassion. Tonight, I want to speak to you something that it's rather difficult to preach, because when we look at this subject, it applies to me as much as it does anybody. And we're going to ask you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 9. And we're going to read some verses there. And we're going to consider, remember, this is written to Israel here, but we can apply this to ourselves today. We want to speak tonight concerning being stiff-necked and rebellious. If we look at what he says here to Israel and these other scriptures we're going to bring out tonight, and not just put it aside as saying that belongs to somebody else, but take it to heart. I believe that we take it to heart, God may begin to revive us. Amen. Because we truly are a stiff-necked and rebellious people. So we look at verses 6 and 7 and also verses 23 and 24 of Deuteronomy 9. He says, "Understand therefore that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness, for thou art a stiff-necked people. Remember and forget not how that thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness, from the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until ye come unto this place, ye have been rebellious against the Lord." In verse 23 says, "Likewise, when the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, Go up and possess the land which I gave or have given you, then ye rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and ye believed him not, nor hearkened to his voice. Ye have been rebellious against the Lord from the day that I knew you." And you know what happens many times in our life as the children of God? When we're in dire trouble, we beg, we plead, we come before the Lord and we ask and we surrender and we say we're going to do anything that you tell us to do. But when things begin to get better, things smooth out, we again begin to get rebellious and stiff-necked. We have short memories. Amen. We don't remember where we were. And this was exactly what the Lord is saying here unto Israel. Now you go back to Egypt when they were in bondage. They cried out unto God by reason of that bondage. And God heard their cry, and God delivered them. But they were just a short time in the wilderness, and they began to complain. Oh, that we'd go back to Egypt, where the leeks and the onions were. Oh, we had meat in Egypt. But they had freedom, and were headed for the promised land in the wilderness. You know, really, at this time, we are living in the wilderness. We haven't crossed over into glory yet. And the rest that we have now, the rest in our soul, is not the glory land. We're still waiting for that. But as we travel this world, as we travel this life, God has given us a complete book of instructions. Amen. He's given us all the promises in this book. He's told us how he will bless us when we are obedient unto him. But he's also told us what will take place if we're not obedient.
Amen.
You see, as we look at Israel and some of the things that we see in these verses that God makes reference to here through Moses, when they came up to the River Jordan, and Moses sent forth those 12 spies. 10 of them come back and said, you know, this is too big of a task for us. There's giants in the land. There's no way that we can overtake these giants. While Joshua and Caleb said, hey, God said, go in and he would take care of the enemy. But they were rebellious and a stiff-necked people. And they refused to hear Joshua and Caleb when they gave forth the promises of God. And they spent 38 more years in the wilderness.
Amen.
Moses even was denied access to the promised land because when Israel stirred up his wrath, rather than speak to the rock, for water come forth, he smote the rock.
Amen.
And God said, because of your disobedience, you won't go into the land of Canaan. Moses also then showed us that even Moses could be rebellious and stiff-necked. Every one of us, if we examine our life, I'm talking about a close examination. Not just a passing through will say, well, you know, I'm not as bad as he is, or I'm not as bad as she is, and I'm not like those over there or them over there. If we don't quit trying to parallel our life with somebody else and do it by the Word of God, we can see our own rebelliousness and our own stiff-neckedness. What does it mean to be stiff-necked? To be stiff-necked means to be inflexible, obstinate, hardened, or stubborn. You ever fall into any of those categories? I have. In fact, in my family genes, it's been known that we are stubborn Irishmen. You ever run into a stubborn Irishman? My wife hasn't. You know, the Irishmen can get pretty stubborn. I think they call Germans bullheads, don't they? But you see, it fits every one of us. Look at it. Inflexible. You ever been inflexible? Now, there are times, and we're going to touch on some of those, that when we're standing for what God says, we need to be inflexible with the world. We need to be obstinate to the world. We need to be stubborn when it comes to yielding to the world. But when it comes to becoming molded to the Word of God, we shouldn't be inflexible. We shouldn't be obstinate. We shouldn't be hardened in heart. We shouldn't be stubborn. We want to see an example of Israel back in the book of Exodus, in chapter 32, and see if this cannot be applied to your life. Now, we probably won't do what Israel did here. We probably won't make a golden calf and dance around it. But why did they do that? Moses, they thought, spent too long of a time on Mount Sinai talking to God, so they decide to make their own God. But we find here in verse 7, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molded calf. They have worshipped it. They have sacrificed unto it And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I may make of thee a great nation. Now what had taken place here? We've mentioned Moses was on Mount Sinai. They were waiting to hear from God. And they didn't hear from God in the exact time that they thought they should have. So they got stiff-necked. And they came to Aaron and they coerced him into taking their gold and making themselves a calf, a golden calf. And they said, These be our gods. When we come before God and we make request of Him, and they are probably valid requests at times, but when we don't hear from Him in what we think is a timely manner, we begin to drift away and take things into our own hands.
Right.
That's being stiff-necked.
Amen.
In every one of us, myself included, have taken things before the Lord. We say we have left them at His feet, and we're waiting for His answer, but before you know it, we say, God hasn't answered yet, so I'm going to have to do something myself. That's being stiff-necked and rebellious.
Amen.
That's a lack of faith. That's a lack of patience. God demands faith.
Amen.
And God demands patience.
Right.
People are very stiff-necked today when they don't, in many cases, get what they want when they ask for it. You know, that's a problem that we have in this world today. Many times you hear, well, kids are just so impatient. They can't get what they want when they want it right then. That's true, but who do they learn from? Parents. We are living in a world today that everybody expects to have what they want right now.
Amen.
And many times we treat God the same way. That is rebellious and stiff-neckedness.
Amen.
Let's look another example of Israel in 1 Samuel chapter 8. 1 Samuel chapter 8. Now they had judges, whom God had raised up to deliver them out of the hand of their enemies. And perhaps one of the greatest judges they had was Samuel. Samuel was, you could probably describe him similar as to David, a man after God's own heart. He was faithful. He wasn't so faithful with his family, but he was faithful himself to God. And Israel said here in we're going to look at verse 19 and 20 here of chapter 8. But Israel said, we don't want a judge anymore. We want a king just like everybody else. And Samuel was hurt. Could you imagine if he was the leader of a group of people? Done nothing wrong, followed after God, then all of a sudden the people that were following you said, we don't want you anymore. We want a king. We want a new leader. How would you feel? Well, you know, when we get stiff-necked and rebellious, as we see here in this case with Israel, it's not Samuel that they rejected, it was God they rejected. For he says, nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, Nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, Hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, Go ye every man unto his city. But God told Samuel also, he says, They haven't rejected you.
That's right.
They've rejected me. And when we get stubborn and rebellious, and we don't listen to the man of God who he has placed over us, you know what we're saying? I don't want to hear what God has to say. And we become stubborn and rebellious.
Amen.
And we want to do things our way. A stiff-necked people today don't want to hear sound preaching. They want somebody to tickle their ears. Mm-hmm. You know, at one time, about 30 years or more ago, when we'd hear that verse of Scripture talk preached, of they want in the latter times they're going to want somebody to tickle their ears, I never thought that New Testament Baptist churches would ever come to the day that that's what they wanted. But there's a whole lot of churches today, that's all they want.
Amen.
They don't want anybody to preach against their sin. They don't want anybody to tell them how they need to live. They just want somebody to get up here and preach and soothe their ears. But you know, if the man of God, the man who is called of God to preach, he has a responsibility to God.
Amen.
To preach the whole counsel of God and preach things such as stiff-neckedness and rebelliousness. We need to hear that. We need to be aware that God is aware of our sin. And God's going to deal with our sin. He dealt with Israel's sin when they were rebellious and stiff-necked. And as we see here in the case of when they rejected Samuel, God gave them exactly what they wanted. The first king they had was good for a while. The second king, David, a man after God's own heart, he even faltered along the way. Committed adultery, committed murder, and it cost him. It cost him the balance of his life. He paid for that sin. So when we look at, you might say, the severeness of stiff-neckedness and rebellion, if it's not put in check, it can cost us.
Amen.
And cost us dearly. You know, we sometimes, I've heard men preach make you so fearful that if you didn't do right, that God's going to take everything that you got away from you. Well, he may not. God has other ways than just taking everything you got away from you to bring chastisement upon you. Israel prospered for a long time after they got a king. I've known the people who have gotten out of God's will and prospered very well in this world.
Amen.
But they didn't prosper spiritually.
Amen.
And that is the key. This is what our goal in this life should be, that we would prosper spiritually. And if we are being a stiff-necked and a rebellious people, we can't prosper spiritually. So let's look a little further at the word rebellious. To be rebellious means to be disobedient, to resist or despise instruction given by God unto you. In other words, if we are disobedient and and resist or disrespect what God has told us in His instruction book, we are rebellious. We are rebellious. Look back in Exodus again in chapter 16, and we'll find an example of rebelliousness. Exodus chapter 16, beginning in verses 1 and 2 here, he says, "And they took their journey from Elim, and they and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, and on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness." Here is the two men that God sent to lead them from the captivity of Egypt into the safety of the wilderness. Here's the two men that as they crossed the Red Sea on dry land, and then as the Egyptians pursued after them and got in the midst of that dry sea, and God told Moses to raise up his staff again, and they seen the Egyptians destroyed, and they sang their song of salvation and deliverance. Seen the salvation of God, seen the delivery of God, just a few days later, began to murmur against Moses and Aaron, a rebellious people. In chapter 17, here, verses 1 through 4 of the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 17. And verses 1 through 4, he says, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink." Okay, up to this point we see they'd done exactly what God had commanded them. "Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, Give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me." Rebellious. Couldn't take the time to come to Moses and say, "Moses, intercede for us with God to see that we can have some water." Instead, they chided Moses. They blamed Moses because they didn't have any water. And in essence, when they blamed Moses because they didn't have any water, they were condemning God. Because Moses was God's servant. A rebellious people always want to do the opposite from what God asks them to do. Always. A rebellious people will take counsel with the world rather than counsel with God. In Isaiah chapter 30, we see this. Isaiah 30 and verses 1 through 3. The Bible tells us here, it says, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. They that may add sin, that they may add sin to sin. They walk to go down into Egypt." And now here Egypt is used as a type of sin, type of the world. He says, "And have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of the Pharaoh be your shame and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. For his prince or princes were at Zion and his ambassadors came to hands. He says they go down into Egypt. They go to the world. And you seek the world's advice. You don't seek the advice of God anymore. You're rebellious. And you know why a stiff-necked and rebellious people don't seek the advice from God? Because they don't want to hear his solution. Many times it's because you have sin in your life and you don't want to get rid of it. But yet you want to have the relief from the chastisement of God. A rebellious heart could care less what God has to say. They're going to do their own thing. Amen. Rebellious hearts today shut out the man of God whenever he preaches on whatever is their problem. They just shut it off. How are saints today a stiff-necked people? Now, we've mentioned some of this already, but let's go back to the book of Acts for a moment and see that New Testament times also that people are stiff-necked. We start first here in Acts chapter 7 when Stephen was stoned to death. Those Israelites, those Jews, who lined up and stoned Stephen to death because he preached in the name of Christ. He preached concerning their Messiah. He preached, in essence, against their pride. They were Pharisees. They were Sadducees. They were Jews, and salvation was of the Jews. They didn't want to change. And Stephen says here, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. He says, you're a stiff-necked people. You don't want to hear what God has to say. You're just like your fathers. People today are obstinate and stubborn in that they do not want to hear about their sin, just about the other guys. You know, in my ministry, I've had people actually come to me and say, Brother Cummins, you need to preach about this or preach about that, because so-and-so here and so-and-so there, they're doing this or they're doing that. All the time. When there's error in their own life. When we were members at Home Baptist Church back in the early 80s, there were some people who used to get to church just about the time that Brother Titus started to preach. And as we were going out one night, one of these individuals stopped and said, Brother Titus, you know, so-and-so has been out of church for 3 months. We need to consider disciplining them for non-attendance. And I could see Brother Titus's face getting red. He didn't say a word then. He preached that night on faithfulness. And he said, if you get to church 20 minutes late for a month or 2 months, you've missed more church than the person that hasn't been here in 3 months. And I don't know if that's math added up, but it got their attention. At least it would have got mine. But you see, when we look at what somebody else is doing or someone else has done, and we don't look at our own self, we become stiff-necked and rebellious, and our ears are plugged to what God would have us to do. People listen to everyone except God. Amen. Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah chapter 48. There's how many times do you sit down and read the Word of God? How many times when you sit down to read the Word of God, you actually listen to it? That's the problem I have sometimes. I'll sit down and be reading the Word of God, and the first thing you know, I'll say, you know, I'm not even listening to what God has to say. We need to listen. In verse 1 here, Isaiah 48, it says, "Hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel, and are come forth out of the waters of Judah, which swear by my name, or by the name of the Lord, and make mention of God, the God of Israel, but not in truth, nor in righteousness. For they call themselves of the holy city, and they stay themselves upon the God of Israel, the Lord of hosts is his name. They declare the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of the mouth, and I showed them. I did them suddenly, and they came to, and they came to pass, because they knew that thou art obstinate, and thy neck is an iron sinew, and thy brow brass. I have even from the beginning declared it to thee. Before it came to pass, I showed it to thee, lest thou shouldest say, mine idol hath done them, and they, and that my graven image and my molten image have committed them, commanded them. Thou hast heard. See all this, and will not ye declare it? I have showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things, and thou didst not know them." You see the state that Israel is in? What they were saying is, we're God's children. We serve God. We serve the God of Israel. But he says, at the same time, when I speak to you, you don't listen to me. And I guarantee you, there's people that way today. Even ourselves sometimes. We're the children of God. We're members of a true New Testament Baptist church. We're of the bride of Christ. But do we do what God commanded us to do?
Amen.
Are we doing what God has commanded us to do? Do we find excuses not to be obedient unto God? People today have hardened their hearts to the preaching of God's word. Israel hardened their hearts to the word of God. If you want to see a closer look at how they hardened their hearts, read the book of Malachi sometime. God asked them question after question concerning that. And every time their answer was, how have we done this? How have we done that? And you'll get the same response from people today when you preach about their sin. Well, when have I done this? In some cases, it's when haven't you done it? Or when have you not done it, I should say. We need to listen to what God has to say.
Amen.
When warning is given about living a separated life, people have their ears plugged so that they can't hear what you have to say. God tells us that we cannot be friends of this world and also friends of His at the same time. You can't serve two masters at the same time. He says you'll love the one and hate the other. We can't do it. You can't serve mammon and God at the same time. And that's exactly what most people are doing today. They're serving mammon and playing church.
Amen.
That is stiff-necked and rebellious. How are people today a rebellious people? We've just mentioned separation. Let's go back and look at those verses in 2 Corinthians in chapter 6 and see, and again, don't look so much at your neighbor, but look at some of these things with yourself. Because we all have tendencies to fall in to these things. But give some thoughts here, what he has to say about separation. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse 11, he says, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is opened unto you, our hearts are enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. For a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? This, he says, don't yoke up with this world.
Amen.
Don't do business with this world. You say, well, I have to shop in this world. Yes, there are things we have to do in this world. We have to work. We have to earn a living. And we have to work with those of the world. Sometimes we have to work for those of the world. We have to buy our groceries at whichever grocery store you prefer. You have to buy all the necessities of life. And most of the time you're going to deal with people of the world. But that's not what he's talking about when he says don't yoke up with the world. We're not to yoke up in marriage. We're not to yoke up in business. We're not to yoke up in our recreation. We're not to yoke up in fellowship with the world. We're to be separate. We're not to yoke up with the world when it comes to how we dress, the places we frequent for entertainment. We're to be separated. But you know, the problem today is no one wants to be to feel like they're an outcast.
Amen.
We don't want to feel that we're any different than the rest of the world. But hey, who cares? So they laugh at us or think we're strange. When I worked at Bluegrass Auto Parts in Lexington, Kentucky, some of the customers would come in and say, hey, you want to hear the joke I heard down the road? I'd say, only if I can repeat it from the pulpit on Sunday. And that stopped a whole lot of jokes. But you know, a lot of times we'll just be silent and let them go ahead and say it. And you know, corrupt communications corrupt good manners. When you're at the workplace, and you're gathered around the water cooler, and they begin to tell their dirty jokes or talk about their evil in sinful lives, we don't have to stand around and listen to it. Separate ourselves. Don't yoke up with the world. In this world, think sin is funny.
Amen.
And it is pleasurable for a season. But it has its consequence. Further here, he says, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? In other words, what in common do we have with this world? Now we can talk about the weather. Everybody talks about the weather. But do you ever talk to them about Christ? That'll scatter them faster than anything. But you know what? If we live a separated life. They may laugh at us. They may think we're strange, but they'll respect you. And someday they may come and inquire of you of that hope that lies within you. That is the importance. That's the major importance of living a separate life. The fact that the world may inquire of the hope that lies within us. And according to Peter, we're supposed to be ready to give them an answer.
Amen.
He says, "And what agreement have the temple of God with idols?" He's talking about our bodies now. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. What agreement have the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. When you think about a saved person yoking up with a lost person in marriage, you've got the temple of God yoked up with the world. It won't work. It will not work. Also, in the same regard, well, she's a nice Christian girl, or he's a nice Christian boy, even if they are a Methodist. It won't work. It will not work. We cannot yoke up with those of other religions, especially those who believe in works for salvation. There's no agreement. There'll always be problems. And you know where most of the problems will come in? When children are born to that union. I'm going to take them to the Methodist Church. No, I'm going to take them to Grace Baptist Church. No, you're not. Yes, I am. Problems. And the children. You know what eventually happens many times? They don't go to church anywhere. The children are unchurched. And then later on in life, when the children go haywire, you say, where did I fail? Well, you failed when you married wrong. You failed when you didn't say, we're going to the proper house of God. The children are going to the proper house of God, and you're going with me, especially if you're the man of the house. But again, it won't work. There's going to be division. He says, wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord God. Come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. But a stubborn and a rebellious people say, I'm going to do it the way I want to do it.
Amen.
Since I've been at Northside, I'm probably going to get the number wrong, but I believe there's been 7 marriages, 7 or 8. You know how many marriages I can perform? 1. My own daughters. You know why? They married lost people. They married Church of Christ. They married divorcees. They married wrong. Thankfully, none of them ever come and ask me to perform the marriages. Isn't that sad? Isn't it sad that if you come to the point in your life that you're going to marry the one you say you're going to spend the rest of your life with, and you can't even ask your own pastor to perform the marriage? That's rebellion. That's being stiff-necked. That's saying, God, I don't care what you say in the Word of God, I'm going to do what I want to do. It oughtn't to be that way.
Amen.
And concerning these bodies, I hope no one here has fallen into this, but it's quite popular in the world today, and I've seen it in a lot of people in a lot of Baptist churches. In Leviticus chapter 19, concerning these bodies that we have, and being rebellious and stiff-necked, Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 28, the Bible says, ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. Tattoos.
Amen.
That's talking about tattoos and piercings. To me, there's nothing more ugly than to see someone with their body covered with tattoos from top to bottom and in earrings stuck everywhere in their body. This isn't a pincushion. This isn't a canvas to paint on. This is a body that is the temple of the Holy Spirit that's to honor God, to be separated from all this nonsense that the world is doing. When my son was in high school, they started cutting their hair with, they just leave a little bit of here, and they had it shaved down here. And he says, Dad, can I get, and I forget what they called the haircut now, he says, can I get one of those haircuts? And I said, no. Well, everybody's doing it. And I said, walk down the hallway and into the bathroom. He gets down there and says, okay. I says, look in the mirror. Yes, Dad. I said, everybody's not doing it. We don't have to chip in with all the world's rebellion. And many of these things that the world is doing today is just simple rebellion. And all we have to do is recognize it as such and separate ourselves from it. A few weeks ago, well, I guess it's been a couple months ago because school is still on, there was a report on one of the Nashville television stations when he was watching the news on single mothers bearing children. Now, they didn't call it by the proper term of illegitimate children. You know, that's not politically correct. But they were talking about children being born to single parents, single mothers. And in this report, they said 40%, and they're probably low on this, but they said 40% of all children born in the United States today are born to single mothers. And they interviewed some of these women. Two of them were professional women who said their biological clock was running out, so they decided they want a child. Not a husband, but they wanted a child. One went to a sperm bank, and the other one just found a man who would donate to her. That is immoral, ungodly, and we need to separate ourselves from such things. They also showed a woman who was, I think they talked to four. One woman, she had married the man, and he decided he didn't want anything to do with raising a child and being a father and what have you, so he just flew the coop. Well, I can feel a little empathy for her, not knowing the background of her marriage, but you can feel a little bit for her, for somebody that just deserts her. But the fourth one was an illegal alien, that's what they are, who couldn't speak English and was having her fourth illegitimate child. And they, you know, that is ungodly, and we need to separate ourselves from that. But you know what? We find that in our Baptist churches today. It oughtn't to be. It ought not to be. These bodies were not given us to do whatever we pleased with them. They were given us to serve God. And when we clothe these bodies, they need to be clothed properly. Men ought to look like men and women ought to look like women. I won't say that. But we need to surrender to what God says about the use of these bodies. To serve God right, we need to put away our stiff-neckedness and our rebellion. Paul told Timothy to warn the Ephesians against giving heed to stiff-neckedness and rebellion. In 1 Timothy chapter number 1, 1 Timothy chapter 1, in verses 3 and 4. You see, as young Timothy was a young preacher, and so when we read these instructions to Timothy, the young preacher, we can see these are instructions to the men of God. You know, we are going to be held accountable to God, to how we present God's word to us, to you. And giving you warnings such as this, not to be stiff-necked and rebellious. But he says here, he says in verse 3, he says, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies with ministers, which minister questions rather than godly edification, which is in faith, so do." And I believe you can cover, this could cover all this separation that we've just talked about. Many of the things we see today, many of the things that are being done today, it's just following the trends and fads of this world. We don't have to follow the trends and the fads of this world. We need to follow God. We need to follow God's man, the one He has given us to instruct us and to lead us and to guide us and to be the example before us. Sometimes give thought in your life. If my pastor served God the way I do, would I want him as my pastor? That's a question we have to ask ourselves. You know, do I want the people I pastor to live as I do? If I'm stiff-necked and rebellious, I can't expect anything else out of the people I'm leading. That's like the children of today. Most of them are following the patterns of life that they are because of what they have observed by those who are their role models. And I realize a lot of them don't have any home role models. Sometimes it's somebody living down the street. Sometimes it's a neighbor. Sometimes it's school teachers. Sometimes it's whoever is around them the most. But as we need to be role models in this world, all of us, we are the children of God. We have been set in a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been given the protection of the Word of God. We are to be the light of this world. And we can't be the proper light of this world if we are going about our life in a stiff-necked and a rebellious attitude toward the Word of God. We can't just say, well, you know, there he goes again. He's telling us how to dress, where to go, how to spend our leisure time, and it's none of his business. Well, in a sense, it's not, but yes, it is. Yes, it is. Because we are responsible to God how we teach this word. And if it's in God's word, we don't have any option but to preach it and to obey it. Whether we be a man, the pastor, the guest preacher, or the church member. God didn't write this book to take up space on a shelf. He gave us this book of commandments, this book of life, and this book of promises. And when we're obedient and not stiff-necked and rebellious, you'll be surprised the blessings that God pours out upon you. They're innumerable. Just as he was when he asked Israel in Malachi concerning how that they robbed him. And they said, how have we robbed you? And he said, in tithes and offerings. And he told them to bring their tithes and their offerings into the storehouse and see if you can't hold, that there's not enough room to hold the blessings that'll come from that. And it's the same way with all of the commandments of God. We see them and we put them into practice, and there's no way that we can contain all the blessings that God will pour out onto us. Let us examine our hearts and souls. Are we rebellious and stiff-necked to the Word of God?